Good morning, everyone. It's Sally Kalin here, relationship coach, healer, and mentor. You are listening to my podcast, Relationships, the Good and the Messy. Thank you for listening in today, everyone. I hope I am finding you well. Today, I am going to be discussing with you a serious topic, but I know so many of us have gone through this or witnessed this. And that is talking about domestic violence and to clear up essentially what it actually is. Because I know even in my situation, I never would have labeled my situation as domestic violence, especially in the early days, simply because in my mind, I always believed that domestic violence was just physical. And obviously today we talk more about it and, you know, everyone is talking about things more openly and honestly, and we're beginning to realize just how there really is an epidemic of abuse in so many situations. And so the purpose of today's podcast is to give you an awareness of what domestic violence is, what it feels like, and for you to be able to acknowledge in your situation or maybe someone you know that what you're actually experiencing is in fact domestic violence. Because I know in my situation, when I was able to actually name it and understand it, it just helped me in then making different decisions about how I was going to handle my particular situation. So first up, if you are in a situation where you are feeling threatened on some level, it is really important to make sure you reach out and find support. It is absolutely paramount. I mean, again, I know that if you are blurred on what actually domestic violence is, it can feel as though your issue isn't, say, as big as somebody else's, or it doesn't seem so bad because you're not being hit around. But if you're emotionally feeling that you cannot be yourself, that you're walking on eggshells, that you are not sleeping well because of, you know, just the general energy in the home, then you need a support system. And whilst we can turn to our friends, I sometimes feel, and I know this was in my situation, we can tell our friends quite a lot of things, and after a while there is a feeling of they don't want to listen anymore because they just see you going around in circles. And that's not because your friends don't care, it's literally because people feel helpless and they don't know what to do as such except give you the same advice that they've always been giving you. And this is where it's really important to be able to reach out to somebody in a professional sense that can actually offer you the support and help that you actually do need. Because like I say, it is a real epidemic, and you know, it's definitely one of the most difficult places to be in when you're actually going through it. And like I say, reaching out to someone and having that extra support is definitely going to make things a lot easier for you, even though none of it is easy, of course. But yeah, so absolutely make sure you reach out. So let me just go over some of, you know, the different types of abuse, but I want to discuss mostly today the emotional side of things, because I feel like this is where we get confused on what abuse actually is. But when we're talking about, you know, abuse, there's obviously the physical type of abuse, there's sexual abuse, there's the verbal and emotional, which is, you know, what, like I said, I want to talk more about today, the mental and psychological as well, the financial, and there's also cultural and, you know, identity. So, you know, the abuse falls under a lot of different areas, right? And what I want to talk about today is the verbal and emotional side of things slash mental and the psychological, because this is where it can be incredibly confusing. And I want to give you a picture of what it feels like to live in a home where you are experiencing
domestic violence, but you may not be able to verbalize it as such. So when you're living in a situation that is abusive, you essentially live in a home which is intermittently good and bad. So when you're with an abusive person, it's not like every day is abuse. It can turn into that, but oftentimes why living in domestic violence can feel so confusing is because this partner can be very nice, act loving, act like everything's just fine a lot of the time. And so we see that side of that person. And then the next day, or whenever they decide to, you know, react or behave poorly and aggressively, they begin overreacting, and maybe that involves yelling, blaming, raising their voices, just attacking you on some level. And what you'll find is that your good efforts in trying to, you know, say, why are you talking like that? Can't we just talk about it? They'll just get more aggressive. So there's a lot of confusion here, because when this happens, and I can talk for myself here, you don't think of this as domestic violence, right? You think of it as somebody that's just being aggressive and angry and moody. And yes, we're all allowed to feel that way, and that can happen. And if this is happening, you know, sparingly, you know, then we can often put it down to, he's just having a bad day and I'm just going to, or she's just having a bad day, I'm going to stay out her way, his way, and say, look, I can see you're not feeling the best, but, you know, I'm just going to go in the other room, or, you know, come and talk to me when you feel like it. And if that person responds, yes, look, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling the best, then that's great, right? When I say great, it's never great dealing with someone's aggression. But what I mean is by great, they're acknowledging that they're not feeling the best, and they're saying, yes, I need some time out. And then that's one thing, right? I'm talking more if this is a situation in which the person you share space with tends to do this on a regular occurrence, and there's a pattern. There's a real obvious pattern between them doing the right thing and them losing their temper and becoming aggressive. And this is very common if you're living with a narcissistic person. We hear a lot about the narcissists these days, and I am so grateful that we have social media and these platforms these days where we can openly start talking about living in these unhealthy relationship cycles. So, you know, very common for a narcissist to be all the things that I've just described. You know, they're nice, they're doing the right thing, and then bang, they switch, they're aggressive, they're controlling, they're putting you down, they're speaking to you really poorly, and aggressively. And like I said, this is where the confusion comes in, because you don't associate it with you're living in a domestic violence situation. And like I said, no, that's right, you're not, if it's just sparingly and it's happened once or twice in a year. But I'm talking about if this is a natural cycle of, you know, they're nice, they're aggressive, they're nice, they're aggressive. And it is really, really confusing. And the next part of it that makes it even more confusing is when they are in that aggression side, and they're, you know, having a go at you, putting you down, or behaving like angrily, smashing things, getting angry. This is what I used to experience. You don't know how to handle it, and it activates fear inside of you, especially when you've experienced it quite a lot, and then you start recognizing a pattern. And so the moment they start turning on you, you start getting that fear coming up inside of you, and you're like, oh my gosh, here it goes again. But then what tends to happen is after they've had their, you know, they've let off and they're you know, and they're really aggressive towards you, what tends to happen is they then reach out and say, is everything okay? Or they make out that nothing's happened. And then they start talking to you about, you know, what you're going to do tomorrow or what should we do on the weekend, as if nothing has happened. And this is domestic violence, domestic abuse, emotional abuse, whatever you want to name it. This is not okay. Okay, this is not acceptable, because there are men or women in the world that never speak to their partners like that, no matter what. This is never about you, how they choose to behave, because they will make it about you. They will say things like, if you say to them, I don't like the way you spoke to me, they'll say, oh, come on, it's not that bad. You know, that gaslighting, it's not that bad. Why are you, you know, you get to say how you feel about me. It's okay for you, isn't it? And they'll always try and twist it around, put it back on you. You speak to me worse than I ever speak to you. Or they just say to justify the way they've spoken to you. And so they play it down. They minimize the impact that their aggression has had on you. They change it around and they'll say, you know, oh, it's okay for you to say how you feel, but it's not okay for me to say how I feel. All this kind of, and it confuses you. And it makes you feel like you're going crazy. Because in your mind, you start doubting yourself and you start thinking, wait a minute, like, I know that's not how it is. But in that moment when they're just going and going and going, it's so manipulative and it's so confusing. And ultimately it chips away at your soul and your self-worth, and it is super confusing. And so I want you to understand that wherever you are in your situation, if you know someone like this, or if this is something you've gone through or going through, you have to have a plan of how you're going to sort this out, because you cannot go indefinitely living in this cycle. You will end up becoming so unwell physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it is not good. And if you have children, this is something you do not want to be transferred onto your children, right? But even if you don't share children together, or you may be two families that have come together, you don't want that for either of your children to witness. You never want that. But if you have no children, it's the same deal, right? This is not good for you. And I know in these situations as well, another reason why it can be incredibly difficult to get your head around is because often financially you're dependent on that person, or you don't have the means to get yourself out of that situation. And that again is an incredibly isolating place to be. But I am telling you now, you must reach out and resource and find places, people that can support you, because there are those places, okay? And I cannot emphasize it enough, that the importance of finding those people. Now, I've had people in the past ask me, you know, for coaching around this. And I have to be honest, I do not coach people that are still living in an inverted commas domestic violence situation, because that's not my expertise. I will always suggest, you know, I coach people that often may have been in those types of relationships, but they're out of it and they're on their way, and I help them completely heal those toxic cycles and transform their life and take them to the next level. And I, you know, like I said, not all my clients have been in toxic relationships either, because I do work a lot with breakup recovery coaching. So I'm just putting that out there now, because sometimes when I do podcasts like this, I get people wanting to, you know, asking me if I will do some coaching. And it is, yeah, I always suggest finding a counselor, because counselors and coaches do different things. Okay, so I'm just letting you know. But however, I definitely do coach women or guys after they've been in like relationships that weren't the best and they're wanting to empower their life and take their life to the next level, because I do know a lot about, of course, it's my field of expertise. I understand the patterns and dissolving those unconscious patterns that keep you in those cycles. So absolutely reach out to me if you're out of that situation and you're wanting to completely transform your life and step into and empower you. I'm that person. So I thought I better throw that one in before you send me your emails and your DMs. But I also want to let you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that whilst you're in it, it's hard to believe that you can ever get out of it. And the other thing is when they become nice again and they behave in kind, loving ways, when they are behaving like that, you do forget that they also are this other person. It's like you get completely, like, you totally forget. It's the weirdest thing. And you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like you go out for the day, you're having a good day, they're doing, you know, they're saying nice things to you, and you're actually thinking, I remember this was me, like, I can't believe you're the same person that you were a few days ago, the one that was name-calling, putting me down, telling me, you know, I was this, I was that. And it's easy to get caught in that belief that they're going to somehow change and they're somehow not going to ever have a go at you again and they're somehow not ever going to be. But I'm telling you now, they will not change. When you choose that person, you're choosing that part of them, say that one half and the other half, and it comes as a whole thing. So when you're choosing to have those good times, you're also choosing to be up for the abuse as well. Because when I say people don't change, people don't, unless, of course, they have a total, like, ownership of the way they're treating you and say, you know what, I can see what I'm doing and I'm going to get the help. But that rarely happens, okay? I'm just being honest. Like, if you've got a dynamic where this has been going on for a while, the chances of that person actually owning their shit and owning what they're doing is so small. And I can tell you now that in my situation, when he did go to counseling, it was just to keep me there. It wasn't because he believed he did anything wrong. It was to play the role, right? I'm just going to go, you know, show her that, you know, because they want the power, they want the control. And here's the other thing, which I must highlight as well. Stop wasting your energy and time trying to help them understand what they're doing. Like, don't spend any time trying to say, look, you can't do this because this, this, and this, and why. It's a waste of time. They actually don't believe they do anything wrong. Like, they just don't. I've been treated so poorly in the past and been called every name under the sun only to receive a message the next morning acting like nothing's happened. And it's totally it's just no point, right, in saying anything. And I remember I used to think, like, he actually believes it's okay for him to do that. Like, he actually believes that. And they do. And this is why every time you try and explain to them, they don't get it, right? So, you know, I know it's hard not to sort of want to, you know, have hope in the relationship and hope that they get it, but they really don't. And like I say, if you've got this dynamic going on and on, what's the price you're going to pay? What is the future you going to, what is the future you saying to the you right now? It's actually quite powerful, isn't it? You think about the future you 5 years from now, 1 year from now, what is she saying to the you now? Because that is your message. You can have someone that treats you so well. I mean, why do we end up in these toxic situations? I know in my case, I used to ask myself, I mean, a lot of the reasons, like lack of self-worth, not feeling worthy enough, witnessing that type of dynamic growing up possibly is another factor. Not knowing your emotional boundaries, wounding from your inner child. These are all reasons why we end up in these situations, wanting to be a pleaser, wanting to fix people and save people. And so, you know, when they start stepping over those boundaries, we just keep accepting. Knowing your emotional boundaries, knowing your inner child and connecting to that part of yourself is going to make a massive difference in your healing. Being able to unhook from those toxic cycles and understand your triggers, understand, because you don't want to keep repeating this cycle. And these cycles can keep going around and around, and I know they did for me. because you are the wounded one, that you are, and you will keep attracting the same pattern, the same situation, until you ultimately break that pattern by doing different, thinking different, being different, right? And that takes a lot of self-awareness, a lot of inner child work. I believe for me that was a real big change, and the wanting to end it, because even though, you know, we say we want it, we can become so addicted to the drama, the chaos. It feels normal, right? So like I say, I hope that gives you a bit of insight, guys, because I feel like I needed to share this, because I see so many people, I have seen many people along my journey that are living in these domestic violence situations. We're not going to minimize down the word now. We're not going to say, you know, because I know that's what, when I was in my situation, I would say this is domestic violence. I would actually say that when I started conjuring up the courage more. He would laugh in my face and go, are you joking me? Listen to you. You're crazy. You've got problems. And he'd actually, you know, tell me I was nuts. For calling him out on his behavior, because to him, he had no problem. And he would say things, if it's so bad, why don't you leave? He'd say that because he knew I didn't have the means to leave at that time. So it was all very manipulative, very controlling. And again, I feel like when you're in this situation, you tend to live in a lot of isolation. And that, again, is incredibly lonely, right? So you're not alone. Reach out for support. Like, you definitely can reach out and ask me anything, though. When I say I don't do coaching around domestic violence, I coach people around, as I said, unhooking from those toxic patterns and understanding themselves. But I'm still here to, if you need anyone to reach out to. But at the end of the day, my loves, it has to stop with you. You have to understand yourself on such a level that when someone starts on you, right from the get-go, you're able to inject your emotional boundaries. Because I know in my case, when I would look back and think, where did this all begin? And it's literally because I never knew my boundaries, because I didn't understand any of that side of things. I didn't know, you know, and I'd heard a lot growing up. You know, I had a lot of negative beliefs about myself. You know, your beliefs, my God, they really do have a lot to answer for, right? This is why I'm such a believer, and you've got to change your beliefs, because I heard a lot of how difficult I was growing up. I was the difficult one. I was the black sheep. I was the sensitive one. I was the... So I had a lot of negative concepts about myself. So when somebody starts treating me crappy, a part of me thought I deserved it, or this is normal. This is how it's meant to be. And I've spoken about this in the past, because when I did have people that treated me really well, I was the one that was sabotaging the relationships. I was the one creating the chaos, because it was just my normal. And so, yes, I really want you to know, guys, that you are not alone. Reach out and don't play this down and ignore it and believe that it's going to get better, or believe just because, it's not as bad as somebody else's life, that it's not bad. Because as that saying goes, it's as easy to drown in 100 liters of water as it is 1,000 liters of water. Meaning that your situation is as important and as relevant as somebody else's, right? If you're suffering, you're suffering, right? You gotta be honest with it. How you feel every day. Do you feel safe? Do you feel able to be yourself? What is going on in that environment that you're living in? What are you experiencing? And be really honest about it, right? You got to, because it's the only way to break free from the chains of abuse, is we have to all stand together, because people can't abuse us if we don't allow it, right? We have to, we at some point said it's okay, and they've kept doing it because we haven't known how to say no, or how to inject those boundaries. So I hope that's been informative for you guys. Please share this with anyone that may be in a situation like this that needs to hear these words, that they are not alone, that support is out there. Do not wait until it's, you know, so bad. Emotional, psychological abuse is as real as the physical and financial abuse. All of this
is a real thing. If you know if you're suffering, right, you got to own it. You got to know and be honest and reach out. So with that being said, I know this is a super heavy subject today, but look, I don't highlight a lot of this and with the work I do, because as I said, I'm not a domestic violence counselor. I'm a coach. I'm a relationship coach. And I work with people on empowerment and transforming and healing those cycles on a core level. But yes, I still feel like it's something that needs to be spoken about. And so I hope this has been helpful. I am sending you much love. Please share this podcast. Go and grab my free guided meditation on my Instagram account, Ending Toxic Cycles, which is going to help you recreate a new mind so you can leave the past behind. And you can grab that on my website as well, sallykaelin.com. So let me know if this podcast has been helpful. I want to hear your feedback. And come and follow me on Instagram and share away. Big love, guys.